you know. Radio. La, la,
welcome
la,
back to the Evan Bray Show. Great to have you here Tuesday morning. And a pretty sunny day today, looking nice after the rain that we got over the last few days. How did you fare in all of that? Frustrated as I was yesterday, I went out, checked the rain gauge in the backyard, realizing that I actually had forgot to put it out. Take it down usually in the wintertime so it doesn't get cracked. I thought I put it back out, but I didn't. So I don't have an accurate reading from my house, but I've talked to lots of people, chatted with my brother about the rain they got. He thought somewhere in the Abernethy area, at least the farm that we have out there, about 8 tenths, somewhere between 8 tenths and an inch, likely. I know I've seen a text on the text line from Karen saying about 8 tenths in that region as well. Karenport, somewhere around there. How much did you get? Because, man, it rained hard in parts of the province, and we saw a couple of places where there's been actually some flooding happening, which you wouldn't have even thought of a couple of weeks ago when we were complaining about how dry it was. Love to know how much rain you got. A bit of a cross-Saskatchewan rain gauge check-in here this morning, 1-877-332-8255. If you want to text us your rain gauge reading. Love to know that. It's always good to hear, okay, oh, they got, I didn't realize they got that much. And, you know, those are the conversations that are happening and have been happening at Coffee Row over the last couple of days. The other thing that people are talking about this morning is, did the U.S. make the right decision? Was the right decision for the United States to get involved in this back and forth between Israel and Iran? Of course, U.S. flew over there on Saturday, took out three nuclear sites with these bunker buster bombs that only the U.S. have in terms of technology and the aviation support to get them over there and ultimately take out those nuclear facilities. I like it. I think it was the right move. I think it actually will enable a more swift step towards a ceasefire. Let's not kid ourselves. For everyone that has been watching this over the last number of years, and by the way, we're at the point now where we can measure this in centuries as opposed to decades, the fighting that's been happening over there. The reality is, I don't think there's strong hopes that this is going to be some sort of a permanent fix, but is it a temporary break in the action between Israel and Iran, knowing that Iran has been very involved through their proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis? They have been very active in attacking Israel and wreaking havoc generally in the Middle East. So this move by the United States, to me, was the right one. To you, what do you think? 1-877-332-8255. So between your rain gauge check-in, which I'm looking to hear, and your thoughts on whether or not this was the right move, give me a shout. 1-877-332-8255. Northwest Regina, just over an inch, says June. Thanks for the text. Okay, let's go to the phone line on this discussion. I just had the general, former Canadian Chief of Defense Staff General Rick Hillier on the line. And I've got Paul now from Connecticut calling in, wants to comment on some of the marks we heard from the general.
Thank you, sir. I heard the call, by the way, all the way from Connecticut. So going to war with Iran was not what I had in mind for peace in the Middle East. Your general was approaching this from his experience and from a very militaristic stand. Mm-hmm. I am offering an anti-war stand. Everything that is done over there, despite our president's lying words, is in collaboration. Operationally, every bomb that's dropped is shared between the U.S. and Israel. We had a very renowned American Robert Francis Prevost, the previous name of Pope Leo, speak out against this Sunday war does not solve, and that's the leader of the Catholic faith. He does the ministry. He has the diplomacy corps of the Vatican. He has a lot of information on these things, a lot more than we have as Americans. War does not solve problems. On the contrary, it amplifies them and inflicts deep wounds on the history of people. No armed victory can compensate for the pain of mothers, the fear of children, the stolen futures. May diplomacy silence the weapons. And this is where the United States and Israel has failed, Evan. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask this, Paul. Do you think, if the United States hadn't stepped in on the weekend, do you think there would have been more bloodshed between those two countries in the constant back and forth bombing and escalation that was likely to happen than had the United States not stepped in the first place? Well, is it possible?
We have a template, and it's Gaza. Everything the United States did was failure, including with Biden. And the same type of international policy continues. 55,000. No, some of them, well, actually, those numbers are non-combatants. 55,000. We have the template.
Okay.
In the U.S., what happened to the food deliveries? What happened to the massacres of people lining up for basic humanitarian aid?
I have a tough time, Paul. I have a tough time comparing those two situations because, to me, one situation is about the advancement of a nuclear program that they're not authorized to have, and a country, Iran, that has continued to fuel hatred through its proxies around, well, certainly the Middle East, but I'm going to suggest it extends much broader than that in the world. The war between Israel and Hamas is a war between Israel, a country, and Hamas, a terrorist organization that, yes, happens to be the governing power of Palestine, but that the complexity there is very different. So, I mean, I get what you're saying, and I expect I will hear from people that are saying war is never the answer. Fair enough. I feel like, in this case, the U.S. stepping in has gotten to a peace deal quicker, and I say that knowing that there's allegations that they're still fighting. In fact, it was this morning we heard the comments from U.S. President Donald Trump.
We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
Yeah, well, I do understand that. We've continued to watch this play out. I want to stay on the phone line. I'm going to grab another call here. I'm going to take Arnold's call from Regina. How are you today, Arnold?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you so
much. Good. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for calling in. What do you think? Was it the right move for the U.S. to get involved?
I don't know if it was the right move so much as it was absolutely necessary because of the stranglehold that AIPAC has on the United States government. So President Trump really does want peace. You can see that. It's plain and evident. He's trying his hardest. That was absolutely, I don't even know if it will make any difference to their nuclear program in Iran or not, but the show of force was definitely recorded and just amazing performance by the pilots and stuff. Unfortunately, I think that Netanyahu's completely out of control, and he sabotaged President Trump by, again, attacking right away as soon as that peace deal was signed. Just think, President Trump's heading out of the door to go to a NATO meeting right now. Mm-hmm. All they had to do was just stop doing that for a while, right? Like,
yeah,
I think this is so deep, but we'll never know the truth about it.
And you're right, Arnold. I mean, I think the word deep that you've used a couple times now is very, very factual. I mean, there are deep entrenched sides on the battle that's happened between Iran and Israel and many countries in the Middle East. And so there's likely very little that currently U.S. President Donald Trump can do that will take away years of history and bad feelings. There is something that could be done to de-escalate this situation. Someone said this on the weekend. I can't even remember if I saw it. And I think it might have been an interview I saw, but someone said it's like the parent reaching around from the back seat and splitting the kids up. Parents driving the car, kids are fighting in the back seat, and eventually mom or dad reaches around and says, okay, enough. Now, yeah, the kids are still sticking their tongues out at one another, and it maybe hasn't solved the situation, but it's probably stopped the fighting for now, and there will be need for future interventions. Now, that's a pretty basic, rudimentary example or parallel that was drawn, but the person that made that statement, it resonated with me. I understood what they were saying, and that is how I view what's happened here with the United States. What do you think? 1-877-332-8255. I've still got some calls lined up. I've got texts coming in. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Open lines, by the way, going till 10 o'clock this morning. And I still want to hear how much rain you got. Text line is open for that as well. 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Lots of rain, I can tell you that, because we're asking, how much rain did you get over the last, I'm not even going to call it a week, because some places started to get it late last week. Certainly through the weekend, we saw a couple of big downpours in the province. Even yesterday, some places were getting a dump of rain. So we've got quite a bit. Diane from Langham, counting the half an inch on Thursday, we have just over 2 inches. Couple inches in my rain gauge in East Regina, north of Ingolfeld, 1 inch Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So, boy, there's definitely a lot of rain coming down there as well. The other topic that we started talking about this morning, and it's an interesting one, and it can be very divisive, which is fine. People are taking very strong opinions on one side or the other, is, was it the right move? And maybe that's not even the best question. I'll finish the question. Was it the right move for the United States to get involved in this battle, war, whatever you want to call it, between Israel and Iran? Now, I gave the analogy just before the break. Some people like it. Some people hate it. I'm getting responses both ways on the text line. I said, and I'm not going to take credit for it because I heard someone on online or on a newscast or something over the weekend use the analogy of the parent in the front seat of the vehicle. So the vehicle's driving along, the kids in the back seat have been bickering back and forth, pretty soon they start fighting, and eventually mom, who's driving the vehicle, or dad, or whoever, turns around and starts pointing fingers, giving a bit of a lecture. Back in my day, we were always trying to just suck ourselves back to the seat far enough that dad couldn't reach us. Anyway, at the end of the day, you get my point. The parent in the front seat steps in and tries to stop these two kids in the back seat from bickering. And they do, maybe for a while, maybe they still stick their tongue out. Maybe there's like, Tommy's still bothering me, whatever. But at they've de-escalated it in the meantime. Is that what happened with the U.S. stepping into this? Did it simmer things down? Probably not forever, but in the meantime. Did it get us closer to a ceasefire, or did it just ramp things up? 1-877-332-8255. What do you think? I want to take this call. James in Saskatoon. What do you think? Was it the right thing for the U.S. to step in on Saturday?
Absolutely. And you can see that because of the passion that Donald Trump spoke of when he articulated quite succinctly that, like, I don't know why we're beeping that out, Evan, you know? At the end of the day, words matter, and when they go beyond this point, it's substantive. And this is the point. The United States came in as the parent, as the world's police officer, and they tried to restrain order. And all that they needed to do was to follow this path forward. So I can be 100% supportive of Israel, but I can also be annoyed to no end with Benjamin Netanyahu's actions.
Right.
You know, that's
kind of what Arnold was saying, James, just before the break, is he thinks it was the right decision, but he thinks Netanyahu needs to be reined in.
Absolutely. So case in point here, to your point, that has come around. Maybe one of them has a marker in one of those little games, and that's what's happening. The two brothers are fighting back and forth because the other one's markering him. And Dad has turned around and slapped the marker out of the hand. I think there's a red bottom coming to Israel fairly shortly, because you can't have this. You need to get order back to and let's not deny that in the state of Israel, there is 50% of that population is not necessarily supportive of what Mr. Netanyahu is doing.
Well, there's absolutely no question about that. We see and we have heard from people in Canada that have left Iran and moved here that say the same thing, obviously, about Iran. They have friends and family over there, so they're very concerned, but they also don't support the direction that the government, the dictatorship of the country, the direction that they're taking the country. Text line is really divided on this. So, I mean, it tells you that people have strong feelings one way or the other. And at the end of the day, that's what I'm wanting to hear. I'm wanting to hear from you is your feelings. Some people say this is absolutely a step in the wrong direction. U.S. should have never stepped in. In fact, I think that's where Darren's going. I want to take this call. Darren in Humboldt. How are you today, Darren?
I'm all right.
Good. Your thoughts?
Absolutely the wrong direction. You guys talk about, you know, smacking the kids in the back seat. Well, why didn't you smack Israel during this whole conflict in the back seat? You guys start with a third party that absolutely had their hands in their pocket the whole time. That's absolutely an asinine response to this thing. The Iranians, whether you like them or not, are allowed to choose their own destiny, just like the Afghanistan did, and just like Iraq did. As soon as we walked away from those places, they did whatever they want, as well Iran. So why are we putting our nose in someone else's business? If it was me, if I was running the Canadian military, I'd be standing there in a blue shirt, you know, marking the United Nations, and I'd be holding people apart in Gaza, in Iran. I'd be standing there saying, I dare you to bomb me, Mr. Donald Trump, there. We should be peacekeepers in this world. We shouldn't be agitating and making it worse. Absolutely disgusting.
Okay, so fair enough. I mean, keeping in mind the Canadian troops aren't over there. The U.S. troops are, but not the Canadian troops. And we heard General Hillier's thoughts on that this morning and the role that Canada can play. And I thought the general did a great job. He put it so succinctly about, and we'll replay this throughout the show this morning, but he put it so well that the U.S. can't do things that Canada can, because the U.S. is seen as a military power and adversary, whereas Canada and Canadians, even the military, are seen on a much more peacekeeping front. So Canadian military efforts often have done great things to further entrench peace in countries, but often it comes after the military back and forth that has involved the U.S. has happened. So we'll continue to keep your calls coming through and your texts, 1-877-332-8255. Take a break. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All right, well, we are back, and we've launched into a great conversation. People quite passionate about one side or the other on whether or not it was the right move for the United States to step in and obviously make those attacks on those three nuclear locations in Iran over the weekend, drop the bunker busters. It was a 37-hour mission. They fly over there, drop the bunker busters, basically attack on the nuclear sites, and then fly back. They have to refuel in the air, I think, four or five times during that flight time. However, they never landed. They go over, they do the mission, and they come back. Was it the right thing to do? Did it escalate the situation, make it worse, or did it get us a step closer and more quickly to a peace agreement or a ceasefire agreement between those two countries? Various different opinions on that. I'm loving to hear your thoughts. That's what we're here for. 1-877-332-8255. I'm going to go to the phone line first. I got Jim at Regina Beach. How are you today, Jim?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
Not too bad. Your thoughts on what you saw transpire over the weekend with the U.S. Was it the right move for them to step in?
Well, I'm glad there was a commercial break because your last caller got me a little worked up.
Who was my last? I don't even remember my last. Oh, was it Darren, my last caller?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
He's living in a world that if it was like that, it'd be beautiful. But the problem is there's people out there that want to do terrible things, and it's all over power and greed and money. So I've been overseas wearing both blue beret and a bulletproof helmet in different types of environments. And what happens when you are a lesser force than the opposing people that are doing horrific things to civilians, and you can't prevent them from being murdered or killed, it's a horrific thing. And standing there and watching it under a blue beret is terrible. And I did get a chance to stand underneath a helmet and fight back against people that were doing horrific things to people. And that's the only way you deal with horrific people, is you gotta fight them as dirtier, if not dirtier, than what they're fighting us. And thank God that the Americans went in there and took out that nuclear capability, because they were offered to use CANDU reactors that don't the waste material you can't make nuclear weapons out of. They were purposely trying to make nuclear weapons to destroy Israel and to destroy the United States, and we just happened to be next door to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the last part of that, don't dare United States to come and do anything to you, because you might regret what you wish for. So,
Jim, I appreciate number one, I appreciate you calling in, but number two, I appreciate your perspective on this because of the service that you provided for our country. So thank you for that as well. 1-877-332-8255. I saw a text on the text line this morning saying, why can't Iran have nuclear weapons? So this is a broader conversation, a bigger conversation. There's this whole nuclear non-proliferation treaty, which basically prohibits signatories that have signed on to this, except for the five recognized nuclear powers, from developing nuclear weapons. So it excludes the United States, Russia, the United Kingdom, France, and China, who are considered recognized nuclear weapon states, but other signatories not allowed to have them. Now, people are pointing out on the line that there are countries that it is suspected, Israel being one of them, that it is suspected that they have nuclear weapons, or they're building some sort of a program towards that. And this, again, gets into the conversation back and forth around whether or not Iran has been using proxies to do this fighting. Conspiracy Kevin shot me a text on the text line basically saying that his feeling, and now I've lost my text line for some reason. Bring it back here. He said his opinion that Israel is to blame. So he says, this is Conspiracy Kevin's text. You keep suggesting Hamas, Houthis, and ISIS are Iranian proxies. The fact of the matter is they're all Israeli and American proxies. The best way to control the opposition is to lead it. And he quotes Stalin with that one. And then he's got some linked articles on here, basically talking about the fact that Netanyahu has made statements in the past that make it look as if he is propping up Hamas as opposed to fighting them. Just another point of view on this discussion, and the discussion continues at 1-877-332-8255. I need to find a way. I've lost my phone line here. Oh, there we go. I got her back. I'm going to go back to the phone line. I wanted to grab John in White City. John, thanks so much for calling in. Your thoughts on this move by Donald Trump, but essentially by the United States military to move in, target these three nuclear sites in Iran, right or wrong? What do you say?
It was a move that had to happen. You know, Evan, from just like myself, there's times you just can't talk sense to people. So you have to use force, and that's what they did. I've spoken the last 2 days to friends of mine from the States. One of them was in the Air Force, flew in Desert Storm. The other one flew in Vietnam. His daughter is a colonel in the Army now. And yes, this had to be done. It's just getting out of hand, and it's not going to stop. And I thank Jim for his service, like you did. And, you know, when I talk to my friends in the States, I apologize that to them that our military has gotten to where it has now. Because I remember in Desert Storm, the pilot, a Canadian pilot, he was on the news and he said, it cost the taxpayers $1 million to train me. I'm going to show you it was worth the money.
Mm.
Where did that all go?
Yeah, it's, I mean, we, I was just looking at some stats that show in the 1950s, Canada was actually at about 5% of its GDP funding going towards defense. That was in the 50s. We have regressed through the years down to at one time a low of around 1%. Now we're somewhere between 1.4, 1.5, and of course trying to hit that target of 2 in this fiscal year. We saw the Prime Minister make that promise. That said, talks are happening with regard to NATO and the summit today in The Hague, where tomorrow they're making a decision as to whether or not they're going to up that to 5% for the countries that are part of NATO. So if that's the case, Canada's got a long ways to go. I wanted to also talk about this. So we saw over the weekend lots of different people speaking in favor of or against the actions that the United States took. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who is has been obviously outspoken against Trump, that goes without saying, but not a fan of war either, was speaking at an event in Oklahoma on the weekend. This is what he had to say.
Not only is this news that I've just heard the second alarming that all of you have just heard, but it is so grossly unconstitutional. All of you know that the only entity that can take this country to war is the U.S. Congress. The president does not have the right.
So Bernie was worked up. President does not have the right. The reality is that, yes, the Constitution grants Congress the power to declare war. Presidents, as commanders-in-chief, have used military force, whether they use some sort of an emergency clause, fulfilling treaty obligations, responding to attacks, and there are many examples. President Harry Truman with the Korean War. President Lyndon Johnson and later Nixon with the Vietnam War. You think back to Ronald Reagan, the invasion of Grenada. You think President George H.W. Bush, the invasion of Panama. The Gulf War, that was President Bush. The NATO bombing of Yugoslavia, President Bill Clinton, and then Barack Obama with the Libya intervention that happened in 2011. So there are, I mean, history has numerous examples where presidents have unilaterally or in consultation with their senior advisors made the decision that they're going to use military force. So Bernie Sanders is not wrong that the Constitution grants Congress the power to declare a war. I don't know that you can call it grossly unconstitutional, or certainly you can't say it's without precedent because it has happened many times before. Let's go back to the phone line. I'm going to grab this call from Dan in Stewart Valley. Dan, thanks for calling in. Was the move by the United States to get involved the right one?
Yes, it was, Evan, and I totally agree with you and your comment at the start. And there's a couple other guys that I totally agree with. You can't deal with a bully unless you use some force. And I'm sorry, but anyone that phones in and starts talking, well, we need to just love each other and stuff like that, we know that doesn't work anymore. It's time to stop listening to CBC and stop and the people that hate Trump. I don't like Trump totally, but I agree with what he has done. We had to put an end to it because Iran was holding the whole area out there hostage. And until they took out the nuclear problem, it was never going to stop. They've been dealing with it for 50 years.
Mm. Yeah, and I mean, I don't think for a second that it's gone completely, but hopefully it's de-escalated to the point that we can simmer things down a little bit. Before I let you go, Dan, Stewart Valley, how much rain did you get your neck of the woods?
Just a little over 1 inch. We had a car show on the weekend, and we were so happy to watch it rain and still have a few cars and have a couple of beer and just enjoy. We needed it really bad.
That is very Saskatchewan right there, what Dan just said. You know you're from Saskatchewan when the rain overshadows the car show. We had a car show, and we were happy it rained. The cars had to be detailed again at the end of it. We're getting lots of calls in, actually. Coppell, I got a text message there just around the one-inch mark. Adrian West of Leader says 2 inches. North Manitou Lake, 4/10. Lots of places in the east side of Regina registering in at around the 2-inch mark. So there was quite a bit here. What about you? I'm happy to continue on this discussion on the Saskatchewan rain gauge check. 1-877-332-8255. How much rain did you get in the last week? We'll have that conversation and we'll finish up the chat here about whether or not it was the right move for the U.S. to step into it. Lots of great texts coming in. We'll get to those next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
Right, right, you're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right, you're bloody well right.
Good morning, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. Tuesday morning. Rain gauge readings continuing to come in. I saw the news last night. Eston got about 3 inches of rain. They had video of their golf course, which was, in a couple of cases, the holes were completely flooded. You couldn't see the cart path in a couple of the holes because of how much rain, how much water there was laying around. But there are lots of people saying, you know what? The rain, not only did we get a nice rain, for example, 2 4/10, 2 inches and 4/10 in revenue. Norbert texted in, 1.25 inches in West Regina. There are a number of people saying it wasn't even just the amount of rain. It was gentle. It lasted over a period of time. It was allowing it to soak into the ground, which is great because some of the places, you worry about the places, especially those that are really, really dry, that the rain comes so torrential, so hard, that it basically hits the ground and runs off because the ground is caked to the, and hard packed to the point that it doesn't give it time to absorb into the moisture. So for those areas, and I'm thinking particularly around the southwest part of our province, but there are other spots that have been notoriously dry in the last few years. I hope you got a rain. I hope you got a rain that allowed things to soak in. I saw Storm and Norman, is that what he calls himself at Candle Lake? Storm and Norman said we only received about 1/4 inch of rain. That area for the wildfires, I would have hoped that they got a little bit more. So again, thank you to everyone that has been texting in with the rain gauge readings. The other thing we've been talking about is whether or not it was the right move for the U.S. government to get involved in this situation between Israel and Iran. Cal from Oxbow said, Evan, absolutely, it was the right thing to do. Pushing back on your Humboldt caller, peacekeepers is a wonderful concept. When a nation exports violence all over the world, including Canada, peacekeeping policies don't work. We will be singing another tune when Iranian regime officials flee to Canada, and they will, because Canada is not serious about protecting its borders. We allow terrorist sympathizers to control our streets, and we allow them to collect our tax dollars. So Cal got some strong opinions on that, and his point on what Canada can do is less about what we can do abroad and more what we can do here to keep our country safe. It's interesting, because on that concept, I mentioned that Prime Minister Mark Carney is over right now, in the middle of NATO talks. They're happening today and tomorrow. There is talk about moving the target rate of defense spending for the countries in NATO up to 5%. They are making it a little bit easier. I wouldn't even suggest watering it down, but what they're saying is we would like to see countries spend 3.5% of annual GDP on core defense needs like jets and other weapons, and 1.5% on defense adjacent areas like infrastructure, cybersecurity, and industry. So those are things that bolster security inside the country for Canadians as well. You think about, we're going to talk about cybersecurity here in just a little bit this morning. So it's pretty tough to argue with, especially when the 1.5% goes towards strengthening things like infrastructure, cybersecurity, inside the country. We'll find out by the end of the day tomorrow whether that becomes the official new target for the 32 countries that are involved in NATO. Been a great discussion this morning. Appreciate all the calls and texts that we got. If you want to continue to weigh in, the text line doesn't ever really shut down for you here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.